Good afternoon. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we have four scripture readings today. The first three all mention hell, and the fourth one talks about hell under the term outer darkness. First of all, our Old Testament reading, selected verses from Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses writes, "I will praise our God for his greatness. The rock, what he does is perfect. Yes, all his ways are right. Those who are not his children have become corrupt toward him. They are a twisted and crooked people. Is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? You forget the rock who bore you and no longer think of the God who gave you birth. When the Lord sees his sons and daughters, he scorns them because they make him angry. I am hiding my face from them, he says, and will see how they end because they are a crooked people, children who cannot be trusted. They make me jealous with things that are not God's and angry by their empty idolatry. A fire is lit by my anger that will blaze to the lowest hell. It will devour the land and what it produces and scorch the bases of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them and shoot all my arrows into them while they waste away with hunger, being consumed by the fever of a plague and a deadly pestilence." From David's Psalms, Psalm 9, verses 17 through 20, "The wicked depart to hell, like all people who forget God. The poor will not always be forgotten, or those who suffer lose hope forever. Rise up, O Lord, to keep men from being triumphant. Nations will be judged before you. O Lord, frighten them so nations will know they are only human." The epistle reading from 2 Peter chapter 2, very potent words. "God did not spare angels who sinned, but put them into the gloomy dungeons of hell to be kept for judgment. And he did not spare the ancient world, but protected eight people, including Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood on the world of ungodly people. And he condemned the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed them by burning them to ashes, and made them a warning to those who are going to be ungodly. But he rescued righteous Lot, whom the wicked people vexed with their immoral life. For as he saw and heard the wicked things they were doing, this righteous man tortured his righteous soul day after day as he lived among them. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people when they are tested, and to keep the wicked under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who go lusting after sinful flesh to defile themselves and who despise the Lord's authority." Here ends the reading of the epistle. The Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 8. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus went to Capernaum. There a captain approached him and begged him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and is suffering terribly. I will come and make him well," Jesus said. The captain answered, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say a word, and my servant will be made well. For I also am a man under authority, who has soldiers under me. I tell one of them, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was surprised and said to the people who were following him, "I tell you the truth. Nowhere in Israel, nowhere among the Jews have I found such faith. I also tell you, many will come from east and the west and will eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But those who were born to be heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, where they will weep and grind their teeth." "Go," Jesus told the captain, "let it be done to you as you believed." And the servant was made well in that same hour. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. You may take your sermon sheets out if you would like to follow along. It will make the sermon much more intelligible. In Christ, grace, mercy, peace to all believers who are headed toward eternity. Amen. Today's sermon is packed with Bible passages, most of them containing the word hell. And may it serve you as a warning as you journey toward heaven, as you maybe are people who think, "Well, maybe I'll take a look-see into hell on my way to heaven." Will not work out good for you. Thus our title: do not add hell to your bucket list as you travel toward heaven. And as it is also emphasized by the rock group Blood, Sweat, and Tears, "I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell." Well, there is a hell, and if you have a hell on your bucket list, you are in trouble, because once you visit hell, as we'll learn, you never get out. Of course, the opposite is true too. If you go to heaven, God can't say after 1,000 years, "Oh, I don't like you anymore, I'm sending you down." No, once you're in heaven, you are also confirmed in your bliss. You are there forever. May your faith take you to that place. Hebrews 9:27 can serve kind of as a theme verse. What does it say? "It is appointed unto man," to human beings, to persons, "once to die, and then the judgment, the final judgment, when the chief justice of heaven's supreme court comes to hold trial." Let's look at some passages, first of all, that talk about this thing called Judgment Day, which many people do not think is ever going to happen because it hasn't happened for so many years. From 1 Corinthians 5:10, the Apostle Paul writes, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and all means all. And from John 5, 28 and 29, our Savior said this, "The hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear him calling and will come out." You know, years ago when cremation first started, people thought, I'll be cremated. Spread my ashes here and there, and God will never be able to put me back together. They do not know our God. With him, nothing is impossible. From Matthew chapter 25, selected verses. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, that is on the last day, and all his angels with him, and there are 100 million of them, according to Daniel 7, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him. That means Americans also. And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will have the sheep stand at his right, but the goats at his left. Then he will say to those on the left, "Go away from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." From Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Stop being afraid of those," Jesus said, "who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." What is hell? Hell is separation from God. It's the presence of his wrath. And you know, there's a little realized truth. God will also be in hell. Oh, I thought he lived in heaven. The Bible says he is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And one of the terrible things about hell is that he will be present there through all eternity with his angry face. No more love, no more grace. We turn our page. Let's look at some Bible passages that describe hell and what it's like so that you will not have to visit to give it a look-see. From Luke chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, talking about the rich man who would never help poor Lazarus, the rich man who was so selfish with the gifts that God had given him, and he died and went to hell. And so it says, as he was being tormented in hell, and there is a hell, even though a number of religions say hell does not exist. A loving God would never send anybody into everlasting torment. Or those who say, well, maybe there's some place before hell and you can work it off a little bit and then God will save you and take you to heaven later. That's all hopeful theology that is not true. So it says, as this man, this rich man, was being tormented in hell, he looked up and saw Abraham far away. Abraham is just, in this parable, another term for heaven. He looked up and he saw heaven. And he saw Lazarus there. "Father Abraham," he called, "have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, because I am suffering in this fire." Matthew 24. "Then he will say to those at his left, go away from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." To visit hell, to be in hell, is true global warming. There are those who talk about global warming today, but they have no idea what God's global warming is. At its worst, always thirsty they will be, always sweating, no air conditioning, an everlasting fire, a fire that was like at the burning bush. Remember, Moses looked up and the bush was on fire, but the bush didn't go out of existence. And so God's nuclear fire will be way more than the nuclear fire that you and I know. It will not destroy into non-existence, but it will burn hot while you continue to exist for all time. Revelation 14, 11. And the smoke of their torture goes up forever and ever, and there is no rest day and night for those who worship the beast and his image, and for anyone branded with his name. Hell, always tired, pure exhaustion, no ability to fall asleep and have some comfort. 1 Samuel 2:9, a very scary passage. The wicked shall be silenced in darkness. Hell is solitary confinement. You know what they say about solitary confinement in prisons, don't you? If they don't let the people out from time to time, they go crazy, insane. The silence is deafening. And those who have just lived for rock music and entertainment and cheering in the football stadiums, there will be no sounds. Total silence. Luke 16, 25 and 26, going back to the story of the rich man. But Abraham said to that rich man in hell, "Remember, son, you had your good things in life, while Lazarus had his misery." Yeah, those in Martha's vineyard, many of them, have it now, but won't have it later if they are not believers. Says, you had those good things, but Lazarus had his misery. Now he is comforted here while you are suffering. And besides all these things, there is a wide chasm fixed between us and you, so that those who might want to cross over from here to you cannot do it, nor do any there in hell come over to us. Once you are in hell, it is forever and ever. So if you want to visit hell as part of your bucket list on the way to heaven, you cannot get out of hell after you make your initial visit. Isaiah 66, then they will go out and look at the corpses of men who rebelled against me, since their worm will never die and their fire will never go out. In other words, no end to suffering. A pain-racked body. Take the greatest pain you have ever had. Childbirth, broken leg, bullet, whatever. It is nothing compared to the pain that will be suffered every single moment in hell. And it reminds me of Dante's Inferno. Remember, Dante was a Roman Catholic author that wrote three books. One of them was about hell, the Inferno. And it starts off, how does it start off? Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. When I taught religion class at Lutheran High School East, outside my door, I put that up for the students to see before they entered my class. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. It's probably going to be an F that you will receive. Have to have a little humor with things also, you know. So then Matthew 8, 11 and 12. Jesus says, I also tell you, many will come from the east and west and will eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But those who were born to be heirs, you Jews, he's saying, you Missouri Synod Lutherans who come to church but really are not part of the kingdom because you do not take it serious. Hope there are none of you like that here today. You will be thrown into outer darkness. When you go into outer darkness, no parole. False hope that God will ever change his mind and take you to heaven. And the next second never ticks. You know, there was a famous radio religious host. I called him one day, a very famous man, and lo and behold, he picked up the phone. I got him right there. And I had a nice conversation with him because he had written an article on what outer darkness meant. He said that's equivalent to a black hole, where a star goes into this black hole and it is just consumed. You see, Jesus created the universe. He created the stars. He created black holes. He would know what a black hole is and probably called it by the title outer darkness. And you see, in eternity, there is no time. God started time in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, the clock started to tick. And then in Revelation chapter 10, verse 12, it says, time will be no more. So when you enter eternity, there are no more birthdays. There's no more aging. It is exactly now. And the clock never ticks because there is no clock. So the person in outer darkness, hoping that in the next second God will change his mind, they wait and wait and wait forever and ever and ever. No hope whatsoever. From Luke 16, verses 22 to 24. One day the beggar died, going back to the beginning of that story, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and he was being tormented in hell. He looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus at his side. Now, since this is a parable, I'm not quite so sure if my next point will be true or not. But I'll tell you, one of the worst things that could happen is that a person could see all the celebration going on in heaven while he is in hell. Let me give you an example. Let's say you had a child when he was young, and he was supposed to go to a birthday party with all his friends. But he acted up, and you said, you are not going to the party. Now that's bad, but I can make it worse. You pick your little child up and you take him to the house where the party is going on, and you hold him up at the window and you let him see all of his friends having a good time, and then you take him back home. That's what hell could very well be like. That in hell, you can see all the happiness, all the parties. And maybe you were a party animal here on earth, couldn't wait to get drunk, living it up all the time, and then you go to hell and you can't party anymore, but God lets you see the eternal party that is going on. Wow, that would be a living hell, to be sure. Page 3, Matthew 13, selected The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will take out of his kingdom everything which causes people to sin, as well as those people who continue to do evil. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will weep and grind or gnash their teeth. So it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them, the wicked, into the fiery furnace, where they will weep and grind their teeth. Now, we have had a misconception about what the Bible means when it says they will gnash or grind their teeth. We usually take it as suffering, don't we? That is not what it means in the Bible. It means they will be angry constantly. They will be angry with God. They will be angry with those who didn't tell them about Jesus. They will be angry. And you know, when you're angry with somebody else, they don't even know you're angry a lot of times. And all you're doing is tormenting yourself with your own anger. That's the reverse, if you will, from a different angle of the suffering in hell. Now, you know, if you go to hell, there are varying degrees. Just like in heaven, there are varying degrees of glory that people will enjoy. So let's read something about it. Luke 12, 47 and 48. Jesus says, "That slave who knew what his master wanted and did not prepare himself or do what he wanted will be beaten with many blows. But he who did not know and did things for which he deserved to be beaten will receive few blows. If anyone was given much, much will be expected of him. And if a person was entrusted with much, all the more will be demanded of him." Wow, what a warning for us who live in this day and age, when we have Bibles galore, when there is preaching, television, radio, pulpits. We have been given so much more than the people of the Old Testament. Warning. So Jesus says in Matthew 11, 20 and 24, "Then he began to denounce the cities where he had worked most of his miracles, because they had not repented." Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles worked in you had been worked in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I tell you, on Judgment Day, it will be easier for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to heaven? No, you will go down to hell. If the miracles that had been worked in you had been worked in Sodom, it would still be there today. I tell you, on Judgment Day, it will be easier for the land of Sodom than for you." And we think of things going on in the political world today, all over the world, sodomy and so forth. Jesus' words hit home hard. And then a joyful passage from Daniel 12:3. "And those who have understanding, those who believe, will shine like the light in the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness, who do evangelism, spread the word, they will shine like the stars forever." What's the point? If you had a limited gospel opportunity, less suffering if you go to hell. But if you had much gospel opportunity and go to hell, you will suffer all the more. Wow. Contrasting heaven to hell. Heaven's reversals. Who wants to just know about hell, right? Let's have some gospel. Let's have some good news. What's the opposite of being in hell? Number one, in heaven, you will have total acceptance via forgiveness. Totally loved. You'll have B, everlasting life. And there is, as I said, that welcome gulf that will continue to keep you in heaven, wed to the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, perfect climate. The thermostat is always at the same temperature. Very relaxing. D, never exhausted, tired, thirsty, hungry, totally satisfied at all moments. Wow, that'll be something. People being satisfied, right? We're so much like those people out in the wilderness. Oh, manna, I'm getting so tired of manna. Oh, this water here. Could we have a Diet Coke, please? E, you'll have a perfect body like the original Adam and Eve. By the way, I'd love to preach a sermon just on what Adam and Eve looked like. We suspect that they were much taller than people today. From what is said, maybe 7-8 feet tall. Ooh, never thought about that. And no pain, perfect everything before they fell into sin. F, oh, a pleasant melodic atmosphere. Music not too loud, not too soft, not too sad, just joyful with, oh, the atmosphere will have light. And I have it there in red in all capital letters because the light of heaven is Jesus himself. And he will be providing feelings of security. And to the last page, G, the presence of perfect love without hatred or resentment of any kind. In other words, you will be at peace with yourself, not just at peace with others. H, no urge to ever sin again or need to repent. That's my second favorite. My first favorite is to be with Jesus, and my second favorite is to never have to say again to God, I'm sorry, because we will never do anything wrong in heaven. I, total satisfaction with every last thing throughout all eternity. That will be really a surprise. And two glorious Bible truths. The Savior will change our humble bodies and make them like his glorified body because he has the power by which he can make everything subordinate. And from 1 Corinthians 15, now I tell you a mystery, something you cannot understand totally at this time, says Paul. We shall not all fall asleep. When Jesus comes back, some people will still be alive on earth. But we will all be changed. Those who come back with him from heaven, remember, when your loved ones are in heaven now, they have a soul and a spirit, but they do not have a body. We here have a soul, body, and spirit, but it needs to be changed because it is so inferior because of sin. And how will we be changed? In a moment, in the blinking or the winking of an eye. That fast as you can blink, you get your new body. When the last trumpet sound, yes, it will sound, and the dead will be raised immortal, never to die again, never to age, and we shall be changed. And that's another thing. You know, people have all kinds of crazy ideas of what heaven's about. And you can't find what they're saying in the Bible, but they know it's true because they believe what they want to believe. And you know, in heaven, what age are we going to be? Are there going to be little babies? I doubt it. Are there going to be old men like me? No. What age would you make them? Well, if I were God, wouldn't you make them the age that he made Adam and Eve at the perfect creation? And then we have all these kind of crazy things. And we need to have a warning and a truth about things. First of all, we should not primarily want to go to heaven because we don't want to go to hell. That's a very selfish reason. Might seem real wise, but we should want to go to heaven for a better reason than to escape hell. And then we should not expect to go and want to go to heaven to be reunited with our loved ones. Find me a Bible passage that tells you you're going to be reunited with your wife, your husband, who went before you, with a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister. Find it for me. It doesn't exist. That's Mormon theology. The Mormons always say, oh yes, when we get there, our whole family, all our relatives will be waiting to greet us. No, primarily, we go to heaven to be with Jesus. And in heaven, your eyes will be so fixated on Jesus that you will not be looking around for your relatives. And your relatives will be so fixated on Jesus, they will not be looking around for you. Huh, that destroys everything I ever loved about the Bible. Going to heaven is, remember people, Jesus is the bridegroom, and all women and men in eternity are the brides. Now, I don't know how that's all gonna work, but I do know you will be fixated on Jesus and not on everything else that you think about in this life. Now, that might seem cruel, but if you're fixated on finding a relative and your relative just happened to go to hell, you would not be happy knowing that that relative is in hell. You will only know the people that went to heaven, I guess, if God lets you know that. He's the bridegroom. And remember what it says there. In heaven, the angels are not given in marriage. And you will be like that. You will only be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will make you totally happy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.